This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's a little after 4:30, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm a sophomore at-large member of the Student Sustainability Council.
And I'm Ellen Green, and I am currently the Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council, as well as an at-large member.
The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the Environmental Stewardship Fee, a $3.50 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $160,000 by the end of the 2015-2016 school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky.
This week in the studio, we have Dr. Rebecca McCauley, who is a professor in plant and soil science here at UK, as well as the interim director for the Tracy Farmer Institute of Sustainability in the Environment. She's going to be talking with us about a Sustainability Challenge Grant recipient from the first year of the Challenge Grants, originally named the Food Summit, now renamed the Food Systems Studies Symposium and Workshop. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks, Lauren and Ellen. I'm excited to be here.
It's going to be a good time. So just to start things off, can you give me just a brief overview of what the Food Systems Symposium was?
Sure. So this effort originated from a faculty-led working group that's based in the Institute for Sustainability and the Environment, which is called themselves kind of the Food Systems Initiative. And essentially, They wanted to initiate a broader discussion across campus about all the food-related activities that we have going on. It's quite a large topic to get your mind around and to try to figure out how to effectively broach that. And so we sort of quickly honed in on the idea of there seeming to be a need and a desire and an interest from both faculty and students to have more of a food systems presence and curricula potentially developed. And so that led us down the path to create this Food Systems Studies Symposium and Workshop.
Outside of the food working group from the Institute, mm-hmm. what other bodies on campus came together to make this happen?
Well, probably our biggest partner, besides the support from the Challenge Grant System, which was substantial, is the Food Connection. And that, you may know, is an entity on campus that's relatively new. It was initiated by the Aramark contract, so the outsourcing of our dining on campus was relatively controversial when that happened, and mm-hmm. faculty and students got very motivated and vocal about that particular transition. And I think one of the major positive things that came out from that faculty and student voicing of concerns is the Food Connection. And so the Food Connection is a line item within the UK contract with Aramark, and started when Aramark got the contract, and it's a pretty good size amount of money that's directed to this entity on campus, which is now in the upstairs of the 90 and has a pretty broad mission for food related things on our campus.
They have a really nice setup in there, too.
Yeah, it's a very pretty...
Saw it for the first time last week.
Yep, it's really a very pretty location and nice kitchen facility.
Seems like they do a lot of really cool campus and community work as well.
Yes, yeah, they are motivated that way. In fact, their primary objective is to support the land grant mission through, you know, interdisciplinary and innovative instruction, high impact service and outreach, and then cutting edge research on food and food systems. So it's an interesting group. It's led by a faculty director who's Scott Smith, and Scott's in my department. He's semi-retired. He was the dean of the College of Ag, Food, and the Environment for many years, and has taken on this role, and I think is really enjoying it. And then they have an executive director, Lily Brislin, who Lily received her PhD in, I believe, sociology here on our campus recently. And then they've just, I believe, recently hired a staff member, Tanya Whitehouse, who's sort of coordinating the programming for the kitchen. So they've got a lot of different things going on. In fact, you might have seen, I think it was just on Monday, they hosted a discussion about bread and wheat that happened at West 6th, and I heard was quite well attended. So anyway, a diverse group, yeah.
Is that something fairly unique that UK has compared to other universities?
I think it is to some degree. It's not totally unique. You know, Aramark and some of the other big dining people are on all kinds of campuses. But for instance, for this symposium that we held last week, we brought in three outside speakers that are faculty members at three different universities across our nation. And none of them have something like the Food Connection on their campus. And so I think it is a relatively new and somewhat unique kind of cooperation between the industrial dining partner and the university.
Right. So, like you said, we had visiting faculty come for the 2 days that consisted of the food symposium. And there were representatives from University of Vermont, New Hampshire, and Emory, I think?
Yep, that's correct. So, you know, when we were planning this event, one of the first challenges was to try to narrow it down, and I'll probably say that multiple times in here, but the exciting thing about food is that it touches everyone, and so we all have to eat, and so it can be something that people are naturally quite attracted to for a wide variety of reasons. It makes it a nice unifying bringing everyone to the table kind of concept. The challenge with food, though, is it's all over the place. So the strength is also kind of the weakness. And to try to wrap your mind around it and bring it into something you can actually work with, you end up having to narrow it down. And sometimes that's not what you want to do. So once we decided that this should be something that's trying to focus on curriculum building and student and faculty initiatives on campus, we looked nationally to try to find people to come in to speak to us about what their campuses were doing that we could learn from and it could sort of highlight some of their own creative initiatives, but then also help us think about where we are uniquely posed here to make strides forward. And there's not a lot of those people around. And so when you start looking, you realize, first off, it's just all over the board in terms of how campus handle food. But then curricular-wise, it gets real complicated real quick, too. And so so we ended up, we really only identified about six different people that we thought might be reasonable to bring in. At least two of them had conflicts and couldn't come in, and so then we were lucky that we ended up with these three. And so, yeah, like you said, one was Tom Kelly, who's the director of the Sustainability Institute at the University of New Hampshire. One was Jane Kolodinsky, who is at the University of Vermont and is kind of the director of their University Food Systems Initiative. And then the last one was Peggy Barlett, who's actually an anthropology faculty member at Emory, but she serves as the faculty liaison for sustainability there. And so the first part of the event happened with Thursday afternoon, so the speakers flew in, and then we had a public seminar that happened at the Good Barn. And these three speakers talked for about 25 minutes on highlighting kind of some of the sustainability initiatives, but particularly their food-related things that they have going on campus. And then we asked them to sort of talk about the form and the function of those programs, how they facilitated all the stakeholders that are involved in those programs, and then any lessons they learned from it. And then we opened it up for questions after that, and then convened to a really nice reception that the Food Connection put on for us there in the Good Barn. So we thought it went pretty well. We got about 75 people in attendance. There was seemed to be a good mix of faculty and students, and then quite a number of community members that showed up for that. So I thought it went pretty well the first day.
That's good. We you kind of touched on that not only were we trying to see what other universities are doing really well, but also to kind of identify what our personal strengths were as a university. Did anything really come to light what UK is doing that makes us unique and kind of special in our relationship with our food?
Right. So really, I would say the event I just described, then we follow that up Friday morning with sort of a smaller, much more student and faculty oriented workshop. And the first activity of that workshop was really to identify kind of pie in the sky. If you could have anything food systems related on our campus, sort of what would it be? And then we went from there to what are the existing strengths that are already present on our campus? And at that point, we started to categorize. And so I think we broke into kind of a sort of like a curricular piece, a research piece, and then kind of an engagement side. And, you know, the speakers identified the first morning they were here, Thursday morning, that an immediate strength is the food connection in our partnership with that particular group. It's unique, and it leverages different pools of money and different objectives to kind of bring us together. So that was definitely one. Another that kept coming up during the workshop, I would say, is there's a lot of student Kentucky pride at our university, which many of the three outside speakers really felt like is, and actually many of the faculty members commented on this as well. It is unique to this campus. So mm-hmm. It's not every campus you go to, especially a big public institution where people are, students really identify with their state and mm-hmm. identify with it in a food kind of context. Yeah. And so people felt like the Kentucky Proud label is one thing, and there was a lot of discussion of that, but just the fact that students are very motivated and proud of where they come from, and there is a lot of food produced in our state, is probably something that we could be taking greater advantage of as well.
That's so true. Because I just now that I'm thinking about it, even I, like having lived in Kentucky for the majority of my life, didn't really feel like that much just like connection and identity with the state until I came here and got involved with sustainable agriculture.
Yeah.
You realize like, We get such a bad rap nationally that like, if you're not loving where you're from, then who else is going to love it? But I think that is really cool that they noted that in their trip here, that they saw that pride that people had.
They do, and it kept coming up, I would say. So, you know, other strengths that we have are maybe not as specific to Kentucky. I mean, we're a land-grant institution, so we have mm-hmm. a strength instantly in that we're connected throughout the state through a cooperative extension services and 4-H programs and connecting our youth. And we have an agricultural mantra, and we're supposed to be producing food. So that's a strength, but a lot of schools have those strengths. You know, mm-hmm. unique things that we have on our campus are things like the butcher shop, which, you know, a lot of these played a role in us getting the food connection with mm-hmm. Aramark to begin with, because there are unique instructional opportunities that happen here. You know, Chef Bob Perry over in dietetics and nutrition, and then the courses he teaches, our community supported ag program that we have, the organic acreage that we have on the South Farm. There's a lot of pieces of the food puzzle that are present here that are not present at many campuses across our campus. And so the outside speakers kind of kept pointing those things out to us and just kept saying, you know, you have a phenomenal ability to do some things here that mm-hmm. can't happen, I think, in other locations. Emory's a great example. They're in the heart of Atlanta. mm-hmm. They have no agricultural mission whatsoever. When they look to themselves to produce food, they're not going to produce food, especially not locally. And so mm-hmm. it that has altered their approach to their food system just based on their location.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting that we had people really come from very distinct regions. Having someone come from Vermont, particularly having them listening to them talk about She talked about how they're a real food challenge school,
right?
And that's like, if people listening aren't familiar, it's very comprehensive evaluation of where you're getting your food from whenever you're making these choices on your campus. And we are just like struggling with like defining what we think local is. And
yeah.
Then they're over there like taking it just to like the next step and beyond. So it's still cool to see that we have our own unique strengths as a school.
Yeah, and she did comment about the challenges of the Real Food Challenge. So mm-hmm. I am not super familiar with that program, but it sounds like the calculators that they give you are quite limiting with mm-hmm. that. And so Jane was making the case that even though they have some I think really high quality local dairy production not very far from where they're located, it's they've been so successful with their operation that it's gotten fairly good size, and now it doesn't qualify as local for the Real Food Challenge because mm-hmm. they're too big. So you know, it's you do have to work on your definitions, and you may know that the Food Connection has responded to the fact that our local purchasing that Aramark is under contract to provide this past year was heavily influenced by sugary drink beverages, and that didn't receive the best press, and I'm sure it's not really where Aramark would like to be putting their purchasing power, but it is where they can do so now to meet their local purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Food Connection has been extremely active in trying to help come up with ways to track what's local, what's not local, what do we mean by that? Everybody has a different definition, and so it's an appropriate place to start to try to help inform our purchasing decisions for the future. So I think that's been good.
Are the people who are employed by the Food Connection, even though the Food Connection is with this relationship that UK has with Aramark, are they university employees or are they Aramark employees?
Right. So I believe they are all university employees,
okay.
But I could be wrong on that. Certainly Scott, the faculty
right.
director, is. But I think they all
it
are
seems
university.
Like they definitely advocate for the voices of faculty and students here who are very involved with wanting to make sure they know where their food is coming from.
Yeah, and they work closely with the they work closely with the Aramark employees,
mm-hmm.
so the sustainability-related position that Aramark hires, and then their Aramark office is actually just adjacent to the Food Connection there, so I know they are in close contact with
mm-hmm.
them.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to talk some more about the Food Symposium.
Support for WRFL is provided in part by Scushel Media. Scushel Media is a bookstore and gift shop in Lexington, selling a selection of new and used books, as well as cards, toys, and other items. Scushel Media is located at 371 South Limestone and can be reached at 859-255-4316. WRFL thanks Scushel for supporting college radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Green Talks. I'm Lauren, and I'm here with my co-host, Ellen. And this week on the show, we have Rebecca McCauley here to talk about the Food System Studies Symposium and workshops that happened just last week.
Yeah, so these were, this project was funded by the Sustainability Challenge Grant. As I mentioned earlier in the show, it was from the very first round, the 2014 Sustainability Challenge Grants. And looking back, at that, it was originally named Food Summit, and it was supposed to take place in 2015. Can you speak a little bit about how this program evolved to the event that we had last week?
Sure. So really the idea for the original proposal, the Food Summit proposal, came from there was a small group of faculty who went to the Food Summit that I think happened in Vermont. It was either Vermont or New Hampshire. It may have been a Northeastern region Food Summit, but it was a large event. And the Institute, the Tracy Farmer Institute, supported, I think, four or so faculty members from UK to go to that, just as a sort of a recon trip. So go see what's happening and get ideas and bring them back and let's see what we can do on our campus. Those faculty came back and then the first challenge grant call went out. And so they were well poised to kind of throw some ideas together and put in a proposal. That's what they did, and they were successful in getting it. But after the money was delivered, one of the lead faculty members went on sabbatical, and so it sort of delayed things getting started. And then our food scene on our campus changes really quickly, and mm-hmm. that's one of the challenges of it. So this original group of faculty initiated because of the Aramark contract and because we were losing our local dining and outsourcing to this larger industrial partner. And then that happened. And then they went to the food summit and then they came back and now the food connection is in place and new courses are developing and new efforts in medicine and all over the place and food are happening. And so when they came back together, it seemed like so many things had changed that the idea of a summit where we would be bringing producers together and students and faculty and staff and, you know, Kentucky-wide summit was just too much. Mm-hmm. It was too large. And while it might be fun, it probably isn't going to move us forward. I mean, we were not able to identify a specific goal. And I don't think we wanted to do this if there wasn't a pretty clear goal of what we were going to get. So that caused us to kind of go back to the drawing board with it and say, okay, all the stuff is going on. You know, what can we really do to help initiate something new on our campus? So let's mm-hmm. focus more just on our campus, more on our immediate community, and see what we can do. And that led us then into focusing on kind of more of a food systems approach and potentially have it be more focused on students and faculty. And so the curriculum piece came out of that too. And part of that's because the Food Connection is interested in that piece as well. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like a nice way for us to be able to blend our two efforts and resources to try to push things forward.
Yeah. And for the very same reason that it was, I think, hard for you guys to like nail down what exactly you wanted, it's also important to really consider a curriculum about food systems, because like you said, it really is just so vast a subject with so many just different pieces that are very, very detailed that you really have to like think about how you're going to shape something like that when you're teaching that subject.
For certain, and because it's so cross-disciplinary, really sustainability is that way too. When you start to when you understand how curricula works at universities, there are a lot of forces on the university that cause things to go into silos very quickly. So one of the first things you realize is that if you have a degree program, it has to be housed somewhere. It's got to be in a college, which usually means that it has to be in a department. And as soon as you start going down that path, you start eliminating possible collaborations, mm-hmm. or at least making it more challenging to get those collaborations in. And so it's a tricky thing to think about. And, you know, we've got food that's in journalism and communications now, right? People write about food and there's several faculty members very interested in food-related topics over there. We've got the more traditional food-related programs like dietetics and human nutrition, and they're doing some new and innovative food-related things, and a lot of student groups are being coordinated out of them. But then you also have anthropology and sociology and people who are looking much more at food justice and inequity and all sorts of things. And so, you know, trying to bring us all together to vision something that could go forward, because I think a lot of students are really interested in kind of the transdisciplinarity of food. So they'd like to get a broad-based education on food, and it's a challenge to do that, mm-hmm. Not just on our campus. It's really a challenge to do it on every campus, I think, in the United States right now. And so part of one of the major things we got out of this is hearing from these other experts that we brought in is that it's not easy. It's not easy to achieve it at their schools either. Mm-hmm. And so it was good to know we're not alone.
Yeah.
And I would say this was really considered the first step. So just to get all the different parties that we have on our campus into a room together to try to say, you know, what are the strengths? What have we got now? And what could we do in 1 year or in 3 years or in 5 years to move it forward?
So this event was really laying a foundation for the work that is to come.
Yes, at least I hope so. So we're still synthesizing everything we got from it. Mm-hmm. But we did end up with lots of notes. And actually, we had people fill out a Lee Meyer is involved from Ag Economics. And he gave a very directed kind of one-page handout at the end of the event, which just asked people to identify fairly specific things that we could achieve in a 5 year or less time frame. And so we're hoping to synthesize those and then come away with a specific kind of task force that might be working on some of these issues. So we're still in the process of pulling all that together and getting the steering committee together to assess it.
Well, I'm excited to see what comes from it. This is a really cool event to have on our campus. So just a really, I guess, the fact that it was a sustainability challenge grant speaks to it, but the fact that it really was bringing students and faculty as well as experts from outside of the university together.
It was, I think we were pleased with the groups that we got. It was hard to track the students on the Thursday event, but on the Friday event, everybody signed in. And we had, we had students that were, we had a number of graduate students that were there for most of the day, but then we had students that were from Campus Kitchens and Stop Hunger, the Food Pantry, UK Green Thumb were present, and then a number of grad students from sociology, anthropology, and other departments there. So I felt good about that because I think the students are the ones who are motivated to get these sorts of things created, and it's helpful to hear from them and have them be present and expressing because it helps the rest of us focus on that and move forward a little bit.
Well, thank you so much for coming in here and discussing this with us. I wish we could talk about it more, but sadly we're running out of time. Before we go, Lauren, would you like to keep us updated with sustainability events happening on campus?
Of course. There's quite a lot going on. The Spring Student Sustainability Showcase is happening in the 90, April 21st, 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's going to feature the work of the 6 interns with the Office of Sustainability and the campus organizations that they supported. In that vein, the Earth Days in the Bluegrass calendar is up on the website, uky.edu/sustainability. This is Bike Week, so today actually is Bike to Campus Day. Tomorrow there is going to be a downtown art ride, and on April 15th there are going to be 2 bike-in movies, courtesy of the Late Night Film Series. They're going to be showing Freeheld and The Hateful Eight, so that's going to be really exciting. You can bike over to Memorial and catch that. On the 16th, there's going to be a donut tour on 2 wheels. You're going to be going on about a 5-mile bike tour, stopping at 4 donut destinations along the way. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Trees in Trouble will be shown at the Lexington Public Library at 6:30 p.m. on April 20th. And yeah, so that's going to be it for Bike Week, but there's going to be more events related to the Earth Days in the Bluegrass calendar along the month. The SSE is showing a film with the Late Night Film Series on the 22nd. It's going to be Happy People at 7 p.m. at Memorial. And lastly, there's going to be a climate action rally happening also on the 22nd, hosted by Green Thumb on campus from 11:50 to 12:50 in the afternoon. So check that out. And as usual, any member of the University of Kentucky campus can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Bee. You can find more info on the SSE and other related organizations at uky.edu/sustainability. You can also like us on Facebook or follow us on our new Twitter, uk_SSE. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.